This week on the Time Bat Show.
What are you going to do?
So, Kong, what would you give it out of five?
Out of five?
Since we're using the five-star. We're using the Roger and Ebert five-star. Siskel and Ebert five-star system.
Were they not maybe just like thumbs two up, out of thumbs five. Down?
Oh, yeah, they thumbs up, thumbs down. You're right. Oh, damn, I'm sorry. Okay, so what would you... Would you give it a thumbs up or a thumbs down?
Two out of five, one thumb down.
Two.
It wasn't two thumbs down, but one thumb down, yeah.
So what is the other thumb doing? I always wondered what the other thumb was doing when they made the thumbs up, thumbs down.
It's each of them. They each have a thumb.
No, they each have two thumbs.
Right, but they're only giving their one thumb.
Oh, I never realized that. Hello and welcome to the Time Bat Show, episode number 30. I'm Time Asus.
And I am Bat Snacks.
And we have a special guest today. Joining us today is Gio. Hey, how's it going?
Hi, everyone.
How are you doing today?
I'm a little nervous. This is my first podcast ever.
Are you excited to be on the 30th episode of our show? This is a big deal. You're like
not as excited as if you had invited me to the 33 and a third.
Oh, that's so awesome.
See?
But pretty excited. My lucky number is three, so.
You just proved that you actually listened to this show, so that's pretty exciting. So I like that. That's cool. So yeah, 30th episode. We have a guest today. So we're gonna have a three-person question and answer shit and all that stuff. First thing I wanted to get into on the agenda, Bats, you had a specific thing you wanted to bring up and rant about for the first 10 minutes of the show, as usual.
Yes.
So what was that we wanted to get
into? I've been on vacation this week, and,
you're still on your vacation. You didn't get called into work again, did you?
No, I had to do something with the phones again, but I could do it remotely, so it's not a big deal.
That's good, I guess.
Anyway, since I've been on vacation, I've been catching up with movies, like theater releases, and I saw Kong Skull Island, and I really hated it.
I saw that as well. Gia, have you seen Kong yet, the new one?
No, I haven't. Is this in the same universe as the Godzilla one that came out a few years ago?
I think the theory is that they're trying to make the monster universe or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Did you hear about that?
No, I didn't hear about that.
Yeah, I think they're trying to make like a monster verse or something.
So kind of like Godzilla versus Gamera, except you're going to have King Kong now.
Yeah, so I think I think King Kong's part of that. So yes, I think it is in the MonsterVerse to answer your question. But anyway, so what were your thoughts?
Well, you said something that I really liked. We were texting each other earlier this week, and you mentioned that it was sort of a movie for nobody but everybody at the same time.
Yes, that was my review of Kong Skull Island.
It's like, who was supposed to watch and enjoy that movie?
A committee of people that they
that vote on movies to say what should go in and what shouldn't go in.
A focus group. That's who the movie was made for. That's the movie was made for a focus group. No, it was weird because it was like, have you seen this trailer, Gio, of Kong, of the new Kong movie?
No? I might have seen the teaser trailer a long time ago, but
it has John C. Reilly in it, which is very tonally weird. He's the only good thing about the movie.
Yeah, and he was great in it.
Yeah, but the movie like doesn't know what it wants to like be. I think I don't know. It's hard to explain.
Like the basically, what happens in the movie is at the beginning, you know, they're in America. Chevy Chase and some other guy are business partners.
Chevy Chase.
Wait, who's the guy? Not Chevy Chase.
Chevy Chase is in Kong Skull Island now.
No,
fantastic. John Goodman.
John Goodman.
I don't know how you confused John Goodman.
They worked together earlier in the 90s or something.
No, they didn't.
Know.
Oh my god, I just want to see the Chevy Chase version of Kong Skull Island. It would be like, oh, it would be like a Vacation, but they like Vacation to
Skull Island. Skull that would Island. Be so much cooler.
And then what's the song they always play in the Vacation movies? It's like Holiday Road or whatever, you know? So they're like on a plane, and it's like, you know, in the beginning of Kong, how they have, they're on the helicopters and it's playing like Fortunate Son or something, like some Vietnam era song. So instead, it's Chevy Chase, and he's got his like helicopter pilot's license. And he's like, hey, kids, we're going to Kong Island or whatever. And it's like, Holiday Road.
As they like blow through the massive hurricane yes. and.
And then Kong comes out and starts like whacking everything, and like they have like a, they're going with like a family. They bought like a, they're going with a bunch of families. They all bought like a, you know, big pass to go, like a group pass, and like Kong's swatting all the things down, but them, and then that's the movie, them trying to escape.
It's like a secret CIA plot. They bring up this website. It's a vacation advertised for families and everything.
Yeah,
and it's really cheap. Uh-huh. And it's like advertised as a tropical paradise island.
And instead of John C. Reilly, who was the guy that was the uncle in those movies? You know,
I haven't seen one of those movies in a very long time.
Gio, you know what I'm talking about? The uncle in the Vacation movies?
Oh my gosh, yes. Oh, what's his name? He was
he's
in
like Dennis.
Day.
He's like Dennis Quaid's brother or something like that, I think.
Oh man.
But him, he's the John C. Reilly in this movie. Randy Quaid, that's
Randy
him, yes.
Quaid.
Thank you. So he's the John C. Reilly who is, like, John C. Reilly's character is stuck on the island in Kong. So in the Vacation version, they're going to, like, meet their uncle who, like, lives on Kong Island.
No, they don't know he's there at first. They think he's long dead.
They think he died when he went to Kong Island, like, 10 years ago or something.
Or like, Vietnam. He fought in the war or something.
Yes,
like
there, John C. Reilly. That's perfect, because that character was a Vietnam veteran in the Vacation movies. So that works with the Vacation, like, timeline, you know? Yeah. Like, this could take place in the Vacation universe still. And then he's like, hey, family or whatever. And they're like, what are you doing here? Whatever your name is. And then, you know, some hijinks ensue. And then they could have the like National Lampoon's movies and the monster movies like all exist in the same universe, cinematic universe.
Yeah, and in this movie, so I think the gimmick of the movie would be that the family never realizes that they're in danger. Like they just they just think Kong is animatronic or something.
Like, he thinks Rusty Griswold, that's his name, thinks it's like an amusement park or something like that. And he's like, wow, they really did a lot of work on these things, huh, kids?
Really? That movie would be fantastic, but Kong Skull Island sucked.
It was bad, huh?
So it was just generic design by committee type movie? Nothing?
Yeah, there was two good things about it. There was a really awesome fight between Godzilla and the lizard about halfway through the movie.
Godzilla, you mean King Kong?
Yeah, King Kong.
Same thing, whatever.
Yeah,
more or less. Yeah, there was a really cool CGI fight scene, and John C. Reilly was really good. He kind of did a good, like, comedy character combined with a dramatic character at the same time kind of person.
So better than what Jack Black pulled off in the old King Kong?
Yeah.
Although I do like the old King Kong. It's just way too long, I feel
Yes.
It's like
Are you guys talking about the Peter Jackson one?
Yeah, the Peter Jackson one.
Oh, I really liked that one. That was another thing. Like, I think if you're going to make a King Kong movie, it has to be really big and epic, because that's one of the most important monster movie ever, kind of.
Yeah, I see what you mean.
Yeah, and Peter Jackson did that. He made it really big and showy and
yeah, he
epic.
Did do that. It was kind of a tentpole movie, where Kong Skull Island kind of felt like, we need a movie before, you know, before summer comes out.
We need a PG-13 movie right before summer.
Let's just throw this out there or whatever.
And the trailer spoiled, like, every surprise in the entire movie.
I mean, trailers do that these days, though.
No, but this one was bad. Like, if I had not known John C. Reilly was in the movie, they spoiled every single one of his one-liners in the trailer.
Nice. So you were like, oh, I know it's coming. He's about to say something funny. Yeah. And then it wasn't funny anymore because you heard it.
Yeah, it's like, oh, yeah, thanks for ruining that for me, guys.
Doesn't that so kill you when they say all the funny lines in the trailer and then you go see the movie and then everybody in the movie theater reacts to that line like they've never heard it before?
Right. Like, they're like, ah, ha, ha, ha. They're like, oh, that was so funny. It's like, you saw this in the trailer. It played like 80 times on TV over the weekend.
Like, how? I know you're here because you saw the trailer. Like, how? Why are you laughing at it again?
Yeah, that is super weird. I always love when the movies like completely blow all their one-liners on the trailer too, because then I have like literally I have nothing to laugh about, because like you said, I've seen it all, so I'm not gonna laugh at it in the theater again. But yeah, that's the worst. I don't know, what are you gonna do? So Kong, what would you give it out of 5?
Out of 5?
Since we're using the 5-star, we're using the Roger and Ebert 5-star. Not Roger and Ebert. Siskel and Ebert 5-star system.
Were they not maybe just like thumbs 2 up, out of 5?
Oh, yeah, they thumbs up, thumbs down. You're right. Oh, damn. I'm sorry. Okay, so what would you... Would you give it a thumbs up or a thumbs down?
2 out of 5, 1 thumb down. It wasn't 2 thumbs down, but 1 thumb down, yeah.
So what is the other thumb doing? I always wondered what the other thumb was doing when they made the thumbs up, thumbs down.
It's each of them. They each have a thumb.
No, they each have 2 thumbs.
Right, but they're only giving their 1 thumb.
Oh, I never realized that. Okay, so 2 thumbs up means they both liked it.
Right, right.
So if they give it thumbs up, does that mean just one of them liked it?
I believe so, yeah.
Then why is it plural thumbs, though?
You're asking gotcha. The person.
I gotcha, Gio. I gotcha. Checkmate. You don't know. You know who Siskel and Ebert are, right?
Me?
No, not you. Gio, you know he's just
going to
be
the one
right?
who corrected you. Of course I
Yeah, okay. Because, Bats, you didn't know who they were like 2 episodes ago, remember? Because we were reviewing movies and you're like, I don't know who that is. You remember?
Yeah,
that?
I still don't know who that is.
It's the people from the... Like, did you ever see a movie in the 1990s? Because all the trailers yes. said Siskel and Ebert give this movie thumbs up or thumbs down or whatever.
They would only print it if it said 2 thumbs up. You'd never hear about it otherwise.
They would have thumbs up on like the DVD if it was just thumbs up. They would have it on like the bottom of the DVD cover, like Siskel and Ebert thumbs up or whatever.
Yeah, that's basically 50%. One of them.
No, I'm aware of what it means, but they would do that on like the VHS sleeve or whatever. But yeah, on the trailer, they would only say Siskel and Ebert 2 thumbs up.
Yeah, I never knew the people that were responsible for that rating system. But yeah, I knew about the thumbs up system.
The thumbs down. Yeah. Okay, well, that's good to know. So, Gio, have you seen any recent movies lately since it's movie season-ish now?
Right, I'm a little behind, but I did finally manage to go out and see Get Out, which I enjoyed quite a bit.
You got out to see Get Out?
Yeah, I tried to not make that awful sounding, but...
I'm sorry, I totally made the pun. how was it? I've been wanting to see it, but my wife doesn't really like thrillers. I mean, she does, but we tend to only watch them at home in the safety of our own, you know what I mean? Of our own small...
Yeah, I don't
small
know that you necessarily area. Need to see this in theaters. There's nothing about it being in theaters that I think warranted that, but... It's probably my favorite movie all year. I don't really have anything bad to say about it.
It was really good.
It was. It's one of the few unique experiences where every single scene in the movie is mm-hmm. either a setup or a payoff. Like,
oh, that's
nothing
nice.
Nothing goes unanswered. Nothing is pointless. Everything
relates
to
another scene.
There's
no kind of like wasted
scene.
Time or whatever, really.
Yeah,
it's all just
every
like
scene is
up.
Important.
That's cool.
And, yeah.
What's the movie about? I only know the title.
It's about a black guy and his girlfriend go to meet his white parent or her white parents for like a vacation.
Can I say something real quick? So mm-hmm. the first time I saw the trailer, the first half of the trailer is like, okay, this is gonna be like a look who's coming to dinner kind of thing. You know what I mean? Like modern. That's what I thought it was. Basically. And then the trailer goes into like a completely different direction.
And
I don't know how the movie works, but
to not spoil anything, there's hypnosis involved, and like they offer to hypnotize him to get rid of his smoking habit, And I like, it's hard to talk about it without spoiling it. Anything. It's just one of those kind of movies where you really need to see it. But it's, yeah, it's not a, like a scary, horror, gory kind of movie. Not a lot of jump scares, if any at all. It's just a tense thriller with a really good story and just really good setup and payoff.
So suffice it to say that this guy is pretty unwelcome in this place.
So, I mean, that's the thing is, like, it's they make him sound like he's welcome and he thinks he's welcome, but
he's not.
Things don't add up kind of thing.
Right. I gotcha.
People are acting weird around him.
Mm-hmm. Have you ever seen Funny Games?
I don't Funny think Games? So.
From 2001? It was a similar kind of really tense... It sounds really similar to that. It's like a tense situation where people go over to a person's house to borrow a cup of sugar.
Mm-hmm.
But it turns into this really... just really unnerving
situation.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, he's invited. Like, you know, his girlfriend invites him up for the weekend. And, you know, everybody tries to make him feel welcome. But just everything on the periphery is... off.
Is weird, like, yeah.
Yeah.
That sounds cool.
It's really good. Like, you don't have to see it in theaters, but definitely see it. It's 100% worth it. And it's,
yeah, I'm planning on it.
I saw that and Logan this year, and that was easily better than Logan. Like, as good as Logan was, like, I like this a lot more.
I liked Logan a lot.
Okay, I have a theory about Logan.
What do you have?
I saw Logan this week, too. But my theory is that it's based on Peter Pan.
What? What do you mean?
All right, so check this out. The girl is Peter Pan.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And she has to go and save the Lost Boys.
Who are the other mutants?
Yes.
Okay.
That's
spoilers.
The
Wait, that's it? That's all you have?
It reminded me of Peter Pan a whole lot.
There's no build-up? There's no extra evidence here to the theory? You're just like, that's it. That's the theory.
Well, I mean, she has Wolverine's healing ability, right? So she's not going to age that fast. So at least that much adds up.
Right. Yeah. And it adds up to the other part where Peter Pan has retractable claws, you know? just like that old
flesh-old
Peter
Pan.
You know how Spider-Man and Casablanca, there's a rumor that they're kind
Wait,
of the same
what?
Movie?
No, I don't know that? This rumor.
Okay,
what are you talking about?
There is a really cool theory that Spider-Man and Casablanca are pretty much the same movie if you compare
Which
it to the story.
The original Sam Raimi Spider-Man?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, you have to explain this now.
I actually can't, but I know that you can go look it up. And
you can't tease this and then not explain it. Like,
I don't
did you know Casablanca and Spider-Man are in the same universe?
I don't know enough about it to do the
Let's hash it out
justice.
Just with what we know about the movies.
Well,
no looking it up.
What's the plot of Casablanca? I don't know that I've seen that one.
So Casablanca is this guy owns a bar, Humphrey Bogart,
right.
And... his, like, ex-lover comes into town, and there's, like, some sexual tension, obviously, there. But then it's in Casablanca, and there's this whole subplot with, like, I don't remember if it's Nazis or Soviets. It's one of the, you know, the bad guys of the time period. They're kind of, like, owning Casablanca. Like they're like, partially, you know, controlling the city or whatever. And so it's basically about him and the girl, like, trying to figure out what they are together kind of thing. And eventually ends with him just like, or her leaving because he wants to stay in Casablanca, even though it's like kind of a weird sketchy place. And she's just like, this is, you know, not going anywhere.
Okay.
But that's the general overview. I don't know how that has any relation. And I probably just completely screwed up the plot synopsis of Casablanca.
That's basically
so
what the movie
I'm
is.
Sorry. But yeah, I have no idea what how that relates to Spider-Man.
They're not exactly the same, but
they're not
and tone and no. Yeah, Peter Parker though is kind of in a similar situation, kind of
where he doesn't want to leave his non-superhero self behind.
Yeah.
Okay.
I feel like you're just making this up as you go along.
And then Kirsten Dunst, or whoever the
Mary Jane.
Yeah, whoever Mary Jane is, she's, you know, the lover, and at the end he doesn't get her, and because he can't.
But he does in the second movie.
Duty to be the hero.
Right.
To be the guy that owns the bar in Casablanca.
Yes.
So Casablanca is a metaphor for the spider bite.
Yes. Maybe yes, the Nazis are the spider bite.
No.
I don't
think it's the bar.
Okay, so I just Googled Casablanca Spider-Man. I don't see anything about
this theory. I see a YouTube video on it, a seven-minute-long YouTube video.
Did you watch some conspiracy theorists? No, I'm not talking. Bats, did you watch a conspiracy theory YouTube video? Is this how you got the theory?
No, I know someone who used to teach film at some like university or something, and one of the things he would teach his students was the similarities between Spider-Man and Casablanca.
Well, obviously that didn't take off anywhere because the internet hasn't come to that realization yet. But that's not to say that, you know, maybe he's just really ahead of his time, and then like 20 years are going to do film studies and be like, you know, it's going to be like Casablanca and Spider-Man. They're the same movie. Like, that's a class in film college or whatever.
Yeah,
I guess I could see that. I don't know. It's hard to say.
Yeah. Can you see how Logan and Peter Pan are sort of similar, though? Why it might remind me
in the same way I can see, like, Mad Max Thunderdome and Peter Pan are the same. Like, they both have, like, band of, like, roaming children, you know? And that's basically all I got.
Yeah.
You know? But I guess. I don't know.
I mean,
yeah, it's like the kids have to overcome, not Captain Hook in this case, but the evil government organization. That's kind of like Captain Hook.
I like the bad guy in Logan a lot. I don't know why. Did y'all like the bad guy in Logan? Or no?
He wasn't. Yes,
no.
My favorite part was Hugh Jackman.
Well, yeah. I just thought he was a cool bad guy. I don't know. He had like a cool metal arm, and he had like an accent, and he had like cool glasses and stuff. I don't know. I appreciated the bad guy.
I did like the scene where he turned on his arm and it did the calibration thing. Like
that was cool.
The fingers went backwards.
And it was like, it looked like something out of like Deus Ex or something.
Yeah.
You know? Anyway, so interesting. Yeah. I don't know. So need to see Get Out. Viewers, don't see Get Out. Don't see King Kong. See Logan. Watch Casablanca again and watch Spider-Man. And, you know, we'll all report back about. I'm going to do an essay on it, and I'll come back next week, and I'll read it to you.
Sounds good.
Gio, did you bring with you a question for our show today? Gio, hello?
You're breaking up a little bit. Can you say that again?
I'm sorry. I was asking, since you're the guest this week, we were wondering if you brought a question for us cumulatively to answer as a group.
Yes, I did. I saw this one on NeoGAF earlier, actually. Thank you, NeoGAF.
That was a NeoGAF. That was the first NeoGAF call-out we've ever had in the show.
I mean, it wasn't directly to the show. It was just an interesting question.
Shh, no, it was the show.
Sorry. It was.
Thank you, NeoGAF user Zeta Oni, for dialing into the show and asking.
1-800-TIMEBAT-SHOW.
The question is, who is the female Morgan Freeman? And in parentheses, they have in terms of voice, but it could be just period.
Yeah, I want to get out. I want to remove the voice part. I mean, we can go to the voice part later, but
either one. Yeah, but I mean, you can't talk about Morgan Freeman without talking about
you can't.
Important his voice is in terms
That's
of
true.
Like narration and all that kind of stuff.
That's true. But also, you gotta have like Morgan Freeman. Like, his big quality is he has, like, a lot of presence. And obviously that's due to his voice.
Yes.
But he's just, like, very... He's, you know, he's Morgan Freeman, right?
His appearance, too. Like, he has those cool freckles, and mm-hmm. he has, like, really good posture.
He's very... Yeah. Who is the female Morgan Freeman?
I have... Someone immediately comes to
who
mind
do you
for
have?
Me.
Who do you have?
Sigourney Weaver.
Oh, my God.
Sigourney... That's your...
exactly who I was going to say.
That's your answer to everything, by the way.
No, this really works. Because she narrated that British Nature program.
She did, yeah.
Yeah, and she's also kind of a genre actor. Like, a lot of her movies are the same kind of genre.
Mm-hmm. She does
a lot of
voice.
Science fiction. Morgan Freeman does, like, a lot of crime movies.
And Morgan Freeman narrated March of the Penguins, didn't he?
That
among
sounds
other
right.
Things, yeah.
Among a lot of things, obviously. But I was just saying, like Sigourney Weaver did like some Earth thing, and he did penguins, so like, I don't know. Did y'all see Finding Dory?
Yes.
No.
Oh, it was I don't want to spoil it. But yeah. It has to do with Sigourney Weaver. Let's just leave it at that.
It's maybe her best role in a film.
Yes. Well, no, but yeah, yes, in a comedy, yes.
Yeah.
All right, don't ruin it, but does she voice an aquatic person, or is she kind of like playing herself?
Not saying.
I'm not going to spoil it. Yeah.
Yeah. All right.
I'll just say it's really funny, and if you like Pixar movies, it's worth seeing. But, you know, if you don't like it, it's fine. Anyway, so Sigourney Weaver is good.
No, yeah, that's I like that answer a lot. That's exactly a good answer. That's what I was going to say.
Yeah, that is a good answer. I can't really think of anyone off the top of my head.
I can give another answer. What about Dame Judi Dench? She narrated the Riddick movies.
Yeah, that's true. She does have a very expressive, powerful kind of voice. And she's like really popular actress. She's in a lot of things.
And she did M in the recent Bond movies.
Uh-huh. Wasn't Morgan Freeman in those? No, he wasn't. No. I'm just getting that confused. Morgan Freeman was... Oh, he was in Batman. I'm just thinking of, like, James Bond has Q and Batman has...
Alfred.
No, what Morgan Freeman's character in the Batman movies?
Oh, yeah, his business manager. I don't know the name.
It's like
Lucius Fox?
Lucius Fox, that's his the name. One. Thank you. Yes, Lucius. That's a good... Yeah, that was kind of a random role.
They're like, an important role in Batman.
Oh, it definitely is. It just was like, they're like, oh, we need to have Morgan Freeman in this movie.
He's a good fit for that role.
Oh, he was. He absolutely was. But they already had Michael Caine, so they kind of already had their like old wise man. But they're like, we need another one because Bruce Wayne, he's lost. We need another good voice of reason.
Need more father figures.
Right. So let's do Morgan Freeman. Who's better than Morgan Freeman and Michael Caine? I don't know. Michael Caine is another actor that has a really good voice. Like,
yes.
Fantastic voice. Probably because he's so British, and he, like, doesn't ever... He's, like, one of the few British actors that doesn't speak with, like, a like Queen's English kind of stuff. He's just like, I'm Michael Caine, you know? He speaks like a regular British person, which is...
He speaks with the Michael Caine voice.
With the Michael Caine voice, exactly.
He has a very famous voice.
I love Michael Caine. Anyway, that was a great question. I'm trying to think of another woman, but I think we got the two big actresses that work perfectly.
Yeah, I can't think of another one.
Yeah, I think Sigourney Weaver works in like the voice narration department. Like she's been
Exactly. I mean, she has a presence, and then she's also done really good narration roles.
And she's been in a lot of movies, just like Morgan Freeman. She's never played God, though. So, sorry.
Not yet.
not yet. One day. I guess the only person I could think that played God, actress, is Alanis Morissette. In what was that movie? Damn it, Dogma, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yes. Which is a good movie. But anyway, all right. Are you all ready to get into... official Reddit questions. I'm sorry I said that so slowly.
I'm prepared.
Are you prepared? Are you sure you're prepared?
I didn't want to say I'm ready.
Why not?
I don't know. I think prepared sounds good.
I don't think so. Actually, it sounds fine. Okay, so the questions today are all following a theme of they're all really bad. So the first question that I will present to the show today is a really depressing nihilistic one, but that's okay. What is the quickest way you've seen someone completely ruin their lives?
Yes!
You're welcome. I'm giving you such a happy question.
Oh, good.
If you don't want to answer, it's okay. I can share a story if you have nothing.
I mean, I have some good ones. Maybe.
You don't name the people.
Yeah, no names, but yeah, share yours.
Okay. So I was working at a company, which will be remained nameless, and I had a coworker that worked at the company, and he, let's just say this was his kind of big break in the land of the software development, right?
Mm-hmm.
So this was kind of his, like, he's very excited to get this job. Previously, he'd worked in retail, so it's like a big step up. It was, like, really good opportunity, blah, blah, blah. So fast forward to, like, a year later or something, and the company isn't super good, and they're making a lot of people work overtime, and not a lot of people are happy, and it's not a good look, but it's not something, like... Some people quit because of it, and they did so gracefully, but they did quit, and, you know, that happens, it's fine. But not him. So what he ended up doing is he didn't put his 2 weeks' notice in. He just vanished, like, for 3 days, like, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and everyone thought he was, like, sick or ill or something terrible would happen to him. And then Monday, everyone returns from work, and there's this gigantic email that's sent to every single person within the company. And inside the email, he calls out every person that he dislikes and lists a specific reason why they don't like it and why he doesn't like them. And the worst part of it is... He lists things, I'm not going to say what the things are, obviously. He lists the things that, like, he knows confidentially about these persons that they told him in confidence.
Oh, good.
So it, like, completely burns every single bridge he had with anyone working here. And even if, like, he didn't like the upper management and burned those bridges, like, okay, I can get burning bridges there. But, like, he literally... burned the bridge of every single person within the company. And the issue is that it's a small community here, even though this is a big city I live in. Like, people know each other. And so, like, you're never going to ever recover from something like that ever again, because everyone will hear the story of that terrible time.
Yeah, you're back to square one
called
after that.
Everyone out in the world. And so, like, I just, like, I thought it was super depressing because, like, he got this good job, and now you just, like, completely ruin that. I don't know. It's just, like, stupid ideas. I don't get it. I don't know what he's doing now. Maybe he's really successful, but... but hindsight, I was like,
I don't think he is.
I don't know. I'm sorry, this question is so depressing. I feel like I got a little, like, personal... not personal... Yeah, I mean, I didn't name anyone or anything, so it's fine. But I felt a little wrong telling that because it felt bad.
Yeah.
But anyway,
I've heard stories like that in just about every workplace that anyone has worked at.
There's always, like, some guy that, like, just goes off, you know, and it's kind of scary. I don't know.
Yeah.
I just don't see that ever going well, you know. Regardless of how terrible a company's treating you, you should probably, like, respectfully be like, I'm going to have to leave.
I'm just going to leave. That you don't have to, like...
You don't have to ruin everything.
You don't have to open up Outlook, type in all, and then just write out, like, a 5-page
essay.
And
it was, like, really badly formatted, and I think it was in all caps. And, like, there was no paragraphs or anything. It was just all, like, one big rambling, like, thing. He might have had, like... Not really bullet points, but it all, like, the person's name with, like, a hyphen and then, like, the explanation of why they're terrible or whatever. It's like, oh, God, please don't do that.
What a nightmare.
So, anyway, that's my story. Well, not my story, but...
I don't have one that can top that.
Well, that's fine. Okay, so this one's fun. You are thrown back in time 200 years, and you need to prove to the local authorities that you're highly educated. What do you do? And we'll say you're in America. You know.
How many years?
200. So 200. It's 1817. Yeah. So it's like America is really young still. It's only 50 years old at this point.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to prove that you're really, really smart and you're not some random person. Oh, also, you have all the clothes on that you're wearing right now. I personally would probably be cast out because I'm wearing, like, a Black Sabbath shirt right now, so, like, that would probably not
You're
be
a
the
witch.
That'd probably not be the best thing to, like, have on my person. So first thing I do would probably, like, take that off and find, like, a robe or something. I don't know. Have you guys noticed in, like, movies and stuff, when people, like, go back in time, they always find stuff to wear, like, immediately? Yeah. You know?
They gotta.
Yeah, but how do they do... Like, I wouldn't be able to do that. That seems...
No, I wouldn't. Forward.
No, I know that. I know it's to move the plot forward, but like, where do you get, like, where would you get, they're always like, they go back in time, right? And then like immediately after, they're like 2 seconds later, oh, here's some clothes. They're just laying somewhere. Hey,
there's no security cameras back then, right?
No, you can probably that's just true. You can get away with it. Yeah. They're just always conveniently placed, like, oh, there's like a dresser right in the room I got teleported back into. Let me just go through these clothes and put something on right quick or whatever.
Oh, yeah, or in the case of Terminator, he's right next to the store when he teleports.
Yes,
in.
He's literally like, there's a clothing store like right there. And luckily it's closed and no one's there. And somehow the door is open or something. So he's just like, all right, let me just... No, or maybe it's
in
open.
In Terminator, it's a bar, and he walks in and he demands the clothes, but because he's a killing machine, he can just rip the clothes off the dude.
Oh yeah. I was thinking of Terminator 2. When
What happens? What does Kyle Reese do though in Terminator
1? He's running from the police, and he goes into that shopping center.
Is
and
he naked
clothed.
When he's running from the police?
First, he runs into a hobo and steals his, like, trench coat.
Right.
And then he runs into the supermarket and upgrades his clothes and gets a pair of Nikes.
Oh, yeah, I remember that. Yeah. See, that's what I mean, though. It's always so conveniently placed clothes.
So the easy answer is just be Arnold Schwarzenegger and steal someone's clothes.
That's or beat true. Up a hobo.
Yeah, that too.
Or both. Just do both things. Yeah. That's fine. So, yeah, if you go 200 years in the past, just be Arnold Schwarzenegger. That's really the answer here. I mean, that's the easy solution. I just find it weird that there's always clothes nearby, and no one seems to care that they're always been stolen. And this is getting off topic, but it's just strange.
So, what's the question again?
Sorry, I know I'm obsessed with the clothes part. You're thrown 200 years back in time, and you need to prove to the local authorities that you're really, really smart and you're from the future and, you know, yada, yada, yada. You know, you don't want to be labeled like a bum or a hobo or whatever. You want to be like, oh, I'm an important person from the future.
Right. I mean, if it was 1,000 years ago, you would just have to read and that's good enough.
That's true. And they'd be like, whoa, look at this guy.
Look at this guy.
Sophisticated. He can read. 200 years would be tough because a lot of people were able to read then, so...
Yeah, but it's probably still not as many.
That's true.
I don't know if this would prove that you're smart, but I've seen a lot of stand-up comedians that I could maybe copy and make people laugh, just, like, steal their jokes.
To just, like, do your George Carlin routine that you memorized, and then they're like, aha, this guy's really funny. Would those jokes really fly in 200 years ago?
They might get me in a lot of trouble, actually.
I don't think they would understand the jokes, to be honest. They'd be like, what is he talking about? Because, you know, comedians use a lot of slang and stuff. And I don't know if, like, they're a lot of, they're time sensitive.
Yeah, so, like, I don't know. There are some timeless topics, though, like bodily fluids and... Mm-hmm. Bodily functions.
Dating.
But how acceptable it is to talk about those things varies from time to time,
too.
That's true. I mean, I guess toilet humor is probably pretty universal if Mel Brooks movies are anything to go by.
So, yeah. So do like a Mel Brooks kind of thing, basically.
Yes, just be Mel Brooks. That'll convince, that'll show them.
So those are the two kinds of, you can either be Arnold or Mel Brooks. Those are the options. No, you can do like slapstick humor, right? I feel like this is ruining your, like, what you're supposed to prove you're smart, and you're like doing like toilet humor, and you're like, I'm really smart. I'm doing toilet humor. And you're like, you know. Whatever.
I like how none of us have said, like, electricity or...
That's important. It's like, be Arnold, or you'd be a comedian. Oh, yeah. I doubt comedians were highly respected in 1817.
Probably not.
But, I don't know.
Can we go back to the clothes thing, though? I have an interesting idea.
Yeah, we can go back to the clothes.
All right, how about this for a concept for a movie? You go back in time, and there are not clothes readily available.
Well, what is everyone wearing?
No, like, everyone is clothed, but you're having a hard time getting your own pair.
But why can't you... If everyone's wearing clothes, why can't you find any?
Well, you can't just, like, steal them off of someone.
Mm. Maybe you go back into, like... Or you go into the future or something, and, like, you know, everyone's wearing the same thing. So,
oh,
like...
Yeah,
you know what I mean? You know what I'm talking about? Like, yeah, in those like movies, everyone's wearing the same thing, and you're kind of given your clothes, like, at birth, and you're like, these are your clothes.
Yeah, yeah, there's a totalitarian regime, yeah, and there's just standard-issue clothes.
Yeah, and you don't buy clothes, so you, like, go back or forward or whatever, you're completely naked, and you're just like, where do I get mine? And you're like, well, you know...
Jail is where you get yours.
They're like, we have a streaker, we have a Class A naked person. You're banned from the world. Because they probably would think like you're rebelling against their society.
Yeah, you're rebelling or you're insane.
You're an interloper.
Yeah, but at least the jail will issue you clothes.
Yeah, they actually probably would. Do you think they still have jail clothes in the future when you're in the totalitarian, everyone's wearing the same thing society?
Oh,
do you
what think if it's like a Demolition Man where they like cryogenically freeze you naked?
Oh yeah. Oh. And then
that
they like
suck.
So they would like forget about you and then be like, whoops, we forgot to unfreeze this guy. Like when they're demolishing the building or something. And they're like, whoops, we forgot to unfreeze this guy. And then they unfreeze you. And you're like, oh, this is when we froze everyone naked. We forgot about that part of the process.
And far in the future, everyone has actually gotten really dumb instead of really smart. You know where
this
I'm getting
that? Very confusing. Yeah. This is like a mishmash of things going on. So everyone's stupid. They're all clothed. And you're the naked smart person out there in the world. Good. This is already a movie, I feel like.
That is 100% already a movie.
That's already a movie. That's fine. We could rewrite movies. It's completely fine. So I had a good question about laziness. I'm an incredibly lazy person.
I have a lot of experience with
laziness. What is the most creative thing you've ever done to be more lazy? Or to, continue being lazy, let's say. Anything? What is the then?
Basically my system of doing laundry.
Uh-huh. What is the system?
The system is a basket, and everything goes in the basket, and I've never reached the bottom of the basket.
So do you have dirty things that have just been dirty forever?
Yes.
I actually have that. I have that with clean things. Like, I have a bunch of clean clothes, and they're all in a basket, and because I'm lazy. And I go down halfway through, and then I'm like, oh, I need to clean some things, so I clean clothes, and then they go on top of the basket. It's like a stack in a programming language, right?
Yeah.
It always comes on and on and on, and I never get to the bottom. You know what I mean?
Yeah, first in, last out, except
first in,
with
last
laundry.
Out. Exactly, and there's never... The first in never leaves, because it's at the bottom, and I'll never... Unless I dig for it, specifically, I'll never find... I guess that's being lazy, but that's not being really creative with laziness.
Instead of ironing my clothes, I throw them in the dryer every morning with a damp towel.
I don't iron clothes.
Yeah, I have to, though.
For work?
But I have I just cheat and use a damp towel and dryer.
Do you iron clothes?
Oh, no.
Do you iron your clothes?
I mean, I have before, but I do the dryer trick as well.
Oh, you do? So this is a well-known thing, apparently.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, maybe.
So what is it? I don't know this trick. What is this? Explain it again. So if I need to know how to do it, what do I do?
Oh, you just take the wrinkled clothes that you need to wear that day. Uh-huh. You throw them in the dryer. You take like a washcloth and get it a little bit damp and throw that in the dryer. Then put it on high for like 3 minutes and you have ironed clothes.
Really? That works?
Yeah.
Yep.
That really works?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So next time I need to like wear a nice shirt for something and I'm like, oh, this is all wrinkled because all my clothes are wrinkled, basically. I can just do that and it'll be fine in
a
couple minutes.
With button-up shirts, it's a little trickier and it won't look as nice as if you ironed it or got it dry cleaned or something. But it'll do in a pinch. Like, it's like, oh crap, I have to change in 10 minutes and all my clothes are wrinkly. Like, it's a good alternative.
I need to try that. I hardly ever have to look really good, but sometimes, sometimes I do, so you never know. Okay, so for the next 24 hours, every single person on the planet is trying to kill you. What do you do?
Hide.
That's basically the boringest answer you can say. What was that, Gio? What would you do?
Basically, I'd hide.
I mean, well, you can't.
This is the purge, is it not? This is.
Yes, it's the purge. But okay, you have to elaborate more on hide because they're all out to get you. They're going to hunt you down, basically.
Is it just me? Is it everyone versus me, or is everybody out killing each other?
It's everyone versus you. That's the thing.
Actually, yeah. Hiding doesn't work then because people know where I live.
Right.
Exactly.
So, well, let's friends say and family are foes now too.
Yeah, they're all trying to kill you. Everyone's trying to kill you.
Huh.
Yeah, it's tough. It's a tough life.
How much time do I have to prep, or is it just like at
you don't
any
know.
Point in time?
Right now, it's happening right now. You're at your computer or whatever, and then something, you get like an email, and it's like, you're next, and then you just gotta go. This is the society we live in now. This sounds like one of those weird dystopian, like, short stories or something, you know?
Yeah, I guess the best I could do would be to, like, grab a hat and glasses and drive until I find an opportunity where I think I can steal a car.
Ditch your car and find another
keep
car.
Keep driving
for 24 hours. Yeah, I think that's probably the best option.
Yeah,
staying in your house, they're going to find you. Even if they don't know who you are, they know like your name and they can like someone will find you.
I mean, I have a roommate so he's going to come after me immediately. So I have to make it out of the house before he sees me.
That's true. That's tough.
I don't know. It's just like every LA car chase, basically.
Yeah, basically. But you just have to keep a low profile. And at first, you're going to have to, like, not drive very fast because you don't want to draw attention to yourself. But they'll eventually find your license plate.
Yeah, if there's police on the road and they're actively looking for your license plate.
Right. That's why I said, like, just scope out till you think you have a good opportunity to steal somebody else's car because they're going to be looking for your car.
Yeah.
But then they'll know that, like, a car was stolen.
Yeah, but that takes time. Like, even in today, like, unless they're actively monitoring me with, like, street cameras right as it happens, I think they have a little bit of time to get away with stuff.
True. But given that every single person on Earth is looking for you, I think it might be bad.
But it's not like I have an RFID chip or like a beacon like signaling out of me saying this is your target. Like, they probably have to match my face to whatever they get on their
phone. That's true.
How focused are they on killing the...
What do you mean, how focused
are they? Does their life depend on it? Or is it just like, here's $1 million, so maybe...
Hold on, let me ask this person on Reddit. No, I don't...
I mean, I'm asking you.
I know.
Hypothetical.
Is it more like an Amber Alert, where everyone just gets an alert and they kind of have to keep an eye out? Or is everyone... Oh. Like, they devote all of their
focus... If it was an Amber Alert, then nothing would...
Yeah,
no,
you'd be fine.
You'd be fine. No one pays attention to those things. Does your phone go... sometimes, too? And you're just like, oh, okay, that's enough.
Well, it's always cities that are 3 hours from me, so it's never...
Yeah. If that was the case, and it was just, like, an alert, like, no one would be... whatever. I don't even care. But if it was, like... Maybe it's, like, a bounty thing, like...
Right.
It
depends, right? Like, if it's just monetary, maybe someone's not going to care about the money, and they might be willing to help you. But if it's everybody else's life depends on it, that's an entirely different situation.
Like a weird Hunger Games kind of deal or something. You know, where everyone has
Is there no way out? Like, is there a win condition for me?
Yeah, survive 24 hours. And
oh, just 24 hours? Okay.
Yeah, and then you're free.
Yeah,
do you know of any, like, old abandoned, like, place you can lay low for? You know? I feel like that might be good, you know?
Not really.
I mean, you can go out in the woods or something.
Yeah. That would be weird. Like, we have swamps near here. I could technically just, like...
lay in there.
Go in there.
Go in the swamp and lay there.
I wouldn't necessarily... Like, I don't think my survival chance would be higher.
You'd probably get eaten by an alligator or something.
Yeah, we get some horrible bacteria.
It's like the long death. Is so you get the back, you get an infection, and then it happens to you, right? Yeah. I feel like in a lot of like these kinds of dramas where someone's on the run, they always find like a hiding place. Like there's an abandoned something in their town, and they like chill out there. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I don't know if those things existed in real life. Like, I can't think of a single place that would work for that, you know?
Yeah, property is kind of at a premium around here.
Yeah, not people just, like, own things.
There's not just, like, abandoned
I can't
things.
Just drive across the road and be like, oh, there's an abandoned house. Let me go hang out there for 24 hours while everyone's looking for me.
Yeah, like, maybe a house that's under construction or something.
No, but then the construction crew would find
yeah,
you.
Yeah, that's like, not good.
They'd be like, what are you doing here? Maybe like a... Oh, you could go to like... you know, like when Staples went out of business? You know, like they had like a... They had like stores everywhere and then they went out of business and then a lot of the strip malls just didn't lease that out again. You know?
You could just go to one of those. You could
go there. Yeah. Yeah. There's like a Target in my area that just stopped being a Target. Like they left. They ceased to be a Target. And I think just as there's empty strip mall space there now. But there's a door, you know, like I could just go.
I'm sure hobos already live in those. And
probably.
They're going to be after you too.
Maybe. I mean, hobos don't know who I am though. Right.
Yeah, I mean, if we're talking about like everybody's getting alerted via their phone or TV or something,
then do hobos
they'd have no idea.
Phone? Do hobos have phones though, or no?
I don't know. That's a good.
I
question.
Don't know either.
Nowadays, phones are so cheap; they probably do.
Yeah, maybe one hobo has a phone, and it's like the community hobo phone.
Do they have phones? That's a good question. How do they afford the phone?
I mean, there's burner phones, and there's
that's true. Like they can get like a $30 one from right. like something.
You can get like limited government minutes. Subsidized phones.
Yeah. Huh. So yeah, you think I'm the sure hobo community would have in living in the Staples, the abandoned Staples, like their leader would have like a like
their leader.
I mean, maybe they'll be on your side. They're against the man, and
that's kind of what I mean. Yeah, that's kind of what I mean. This kind of sounds like going back to the Demolition Man analogy, right? Like,
where they're the
like
sewer
they're,
people.
Yeah, they're the sewer people. Like, they're like, yes, yeah, we hate the man or whatever. Like,
this
screw
would actually
them.
Be insanely awesome. Like, it turns out that hobos are this global, like, rebellion force.
That are rebelling about, like, the mandated murder yeah. day or whatever.
Everybody thinks they're just, like, crazy poor people, but really, mm-hmm. they have a huge network of mm-hmm. leaders and followers. And
each group only has one cell.
And they all share a phone.
That they communicate with. Maybe that's how hobos become hobos.
I mean, they, I don't want to spoil John Wick 2, but that's a big part of John Wick 2.
No, we all saw John
Wick. Oh, we saw yeah. that. That was great.
I mean, that's yeah. exactly what happened in John Wick 2, right? Every single hobo on the planet is actually just a killer.
Yes, this is how it would be, too. I like that idea for some reason.
Yeah, same.
The funny thing about the hobos, right, is they could be like they could be... They used to have a hit out on them, and then they found the hobo community, and the hobo community like gave them a new identity or something.
Oh, so they know? Become a hobo because what happened to you also happened to them.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. Ooh.
Ooh. That's a nice twist,
isn't it? That would be yeah. the end of the movie. And you're like, whoa, he's a hobo now.
You're one of us now. You have to share our phone.
Open your eyes or something, and Lawrence Fishburne is the like leader
of
the hobos.
Is, yeah.
Yes.
Because why not, right? Okay, so what item would you expect to find on the lunch menu in hell?
So
real food, no made up food, real food. You can't have like, I don't know, fry, you know,
feces.
Eyeballs or something. Yeah, that's not a thing. That's to be real yeah. food.
So should we, like, go try to pick yeah, something that's not a personal preference? Something that you think most people will hate?
Just what in your own personal hell, what is on the menu? What is the whole menu?
Hawaiian pizza and well-done steak with ketchup.
Oh, well-done steak.
You're giving me shivers here. Like, you can only get the steak well done. Like, there's yes. no other middle ground. You
and
can either get it raw or well done.
Yeah.
It's covered in ketchup. Oh, man. That would be, like, okay, though. I mean, it would be bad, but it would be, like, okay, it's still steak, and it's meat, and yeah, like,
what if it's like really chewy and like it takes you minutes for every single bite?
Well done pizza would be okay because you could just take the pineapples off, or Hawaiian pizza.
Yeah, no, I was just...
It still leaves Hawaiian or pineapple residue on there.
Are we all Hawaiian pizza not likers? Or are we all...
No.
I don't like Hawaiian pizza.
I don't hate it, but I would never, ever, ever order it.
So you don't hate it, you just...
No, if it was the last pizza left at the party and I hadn't eaten it yet, I would eat it. But I'm never going to order it.
Yeah, okay, that's fair. That's a fair assessment of Hawaiian pizza.
I pretty much just said those because those are pretty polarizing topics on the internet. People tend to have very strong opinions
about
pineapple.
But you're right, Gio. Even if you took the pineapple off, there'd still be pineapple flavor.
Yeah,
because I've done it before, and it still tastes
like a Hawaiian pizza.
Yeah.
At least you don't have the weird texture of pineapple on your pizza, though. So, I mean, there is that. Yeah, that's probably the best answer that I could think of for that question.
I'm not a fan of moldy cheese, and a lot of people seem to enjoy moldy cheese. Like it.
I like moldy cheese.
Yeah.
Like what? Like what's moldy cheese?
Just any like blue cheese or any.
Oh, I see.
Fancy cheeses that kind of have an aftertaste to mold. I'm just really sensitive to it. Like
so, if
milk.
Like they only had salad in hell, and it was all covered in like blue cheese dressing. Like you couldn't get it any other way.
I could not stomach it.
Hell
that's
has
all
like,
you could eat.
Hell has their own like Buffalo Wild Wings type place, and it's only really hot chicken wings and only blue cheese dipping sauce.
Oh, no.
Well, you could just go. You could just struggle through the hot wings without dipping sauce.
I'd have to.
They're so hot though that you must use the blue cheese.
Oh no!
I think you could do it. Do you get a side of fries though with them or something like that?
No, just wings.
Yeah, low starch. What about a glass of milk?
Loaded potato skins too.
Well, that's good. I like loaded potato skins.
I know, but just the idea of a bar in hell with cheap bar food is just really funny to me.
I like how hell is like a Buffalo Wild Wing. Something about that is just really funny to me.
Yeah. The bartender like really wants to talk to you about sports.
And you're like, you have no idea what he's talking about. I don't really watch sports, so I would be completely lost in the conversation. But that's like
he's
all anyone talks
to
about.
Answer questions about sports and
like
hey,
who's your favorite?
Yeah.
What do you think of the Knicks?
Yeah. What are your picks for March Madness?
Oh, no.
And you're like, I don't know. But that's all the conversations in hell.
Yeah.
Like everyone at the bar is talking about sports and all the TVs have sports on them.
Yeah. And you feel really awkward because you don't watch sports and you just want to fit in.
Buffalo Wild Wings. That's all hell. It's just one giant Buffalo Wild Wings with all these people that are talking about sports, and that's it. That's
not even fair though, because I love Buffalo Wild Wings. So it's like that's like the cruelest torture.
That's even better though, right? Because you can only have really hot wings there, and you can only have blue cheese, and you can only talk about sports. Even when you're ordering, you have to like talk about sports first before you make your order. Like the waiter comes over and he's like, "So, are you a Red Sox fan or a White Sox fan or something?" And then you have to like answer, and then he like follows up the question with like, "Who's your favorite player on said team?" And then you have to like answer that. So you have to have like all these bad small talk conversations about sports before you're even allowed to order hot wings and a side of blue cheese dressing. And they all have IPA. That's the only beer they sell.
Oh, oh, this just got so much worse.
I know you like IPA, Gio, right? Or no? Do you? Are you an IPA person? Yeah, your name.
Yes. Yeah. I am.
Okay, so that would be okay. So you could potentially be okay with this Buffalo Wild Wings version of hell.
Yeah, this is more of like a personal hell for me.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, you said you like Buffalo Wild Wings. And you like IPA, so like I think you could make the most out of this, Gio, like this hell.
I mean, I go to play trivia, so I ignore all the B-dubs stuff. Yeah.
Do you call it B-dubs?
Yes, I do.
There's only sports trivia questions.
Oh no!
Yeah, that's good. That's good. Like it's hell. It's giant Buffalo Wild Wings. Only sports trivia, and yeah, this is. I like where we're really packing on to this analogy, like even more. It's only sports trivia, and everyone else is like really good at it, but you, because you know, don't know anything about sports, or maybe you do, but you don't know enough as everyone else.
Well, I mean, like, if you're, really it's hell, so it's eternity. So what happens when you try to actually watch sports and learn about them?
It's the same grasp. It's the same game on every TV, just over and over again.
But everybody's so talking about different games, and you can only watch the one game.
Yeah, it's like a really bad baseball game, like where they like just sweep like 12-0, or it's golf. Yeah, it's golf. It's like, yeah, it's like a Tuesday or something. So it's like an off day for sports. Like there's nothing happening, so it's just like golf reruns or something. Yeah,
it's like amateur golf and little league baseball.
But everyone still has like talk about major sports, and maybe there's like a Sports Center one where it's just like, you know, they just do the same Sports Center episode over and over again, and they're just doing the highlights of like last Monday night's football and all that stuff, but it's just highlights over and over again. But yeah, that's hell. That's B-dubs in hell. The B-dubs. So yeah, they have a regular B-dubs menu, just only hot wings and only blue cheese and only IPAs. Oh my god, I hate IPAs so much. It tastes like dirt. If we were invaded by a far more advanced alien race and they asked to see the pinnacle of human achievement, what would you show them? I think we did this question before, kind of.
Yeah.
So let me modify it by, they're going to kill us if we don't give them a good thing.
Smartphone. I don't think there's anything that encompasses more about our
smartphone
planet than a smartphone.
You'd show them a smartphone?
Yeah.
That's kind of dangerous, though. Because, like, what if they opened, like, Twitter?
Oh, no.
And they, like, and they read some stuff.
Some
and they're like,
tweets.
And they're like, I don't know. This is not a good place. Let's burn it all to the ground and start over or something. You know?
How about we give them a VHS of Shanghai Noon?
And no VHS player. No, I'm just kidding. We would need to provide a VHS player as well.
Is the point of showing them the technology so that they can learn about our planet?
The point is to charm them with Jackie Chan.
I think this was the exact same answer.
This was our answer last time.
Yeah, it was just like, Jackie Chan, we'll do it. I mean, he will, yes. He'll succeed. He'll sing, he'll dance, he'll charm them.
He's kind of the expert at charming foreign audiences.
For sure, for sure.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Maybe we give him a smartphone with all the Jackie Chan movies on it. And then it doesn't have the internet, though. Well, it does have the internet, but it's somehow only connected to the good parts of the
internet. It's only Jackie Chan internet.
It's only the Chinese internet. You can only go to the sites that the Chinese government wants you to go to.
That would work.
Yeah. So then it's just Jackie Chan movies and the Great Wall of China internet. The Great Firewall of China internet. And there you go. That's it. That's the whole thing. And I think they would like that. I would like that. Get a lot of time out of that. Okay, let's do one more and then we'll go into trivia.
Sweet.
Do you have one, Pat? Do you have a question?
Yeah, I have a quick one. If your doorbell could be any sound you wanted, what would you want it to sound like?
That's tough.
I don't get a lot of people ringing my doorbell, but
I would want something that like wakes me. Like it's obvious that it's like a doorbell, because sometimes I'll have my like headphones on when I'm like, you know, on my computer, or I'll be playing a game or something, and a doorbell is just like ding, and like 30 years ago, that was, like, an obvious sound. But today, like, everything makes ding sounds now.
It could be your dishwasher. It could be your phone.
It could be my smart fridge. It could be... I don't have a smart fridge, but I'm just giving you an example. It could be my computer. It could be my TV. It could be my phone. Like, everything dings. So I would like some noise that stands out a lot more. Well, maybe, like, Oh, go ahead.
Most of the time when the doorbell's ringing, it's because I'm getting a package, right? So
yes.
It's something I'm looking forward to. So I kind of want it to be like a happy sound, something I associate with getting a package. So maybe like a Zelda opening the treasure chest.
I knew you were going to say that. I knew you were going to say that. I was thinking the same thing, like a da-da-da-da kind of thing. That's good, actually. That's really good.
And that's a little long-winded, so maybe just the item chime.
Maybe this is the da-na-na-na thing, yeah. Yeah. That would work. That's good. So, yeah, because then it's like you're getting rewarded for this. The problem is if it's like, if you have some unwanted people, and you get that, you open the door, and it's like solicitors or
service, yeah.
Yeah, and they're like, have you heard about the new security systems we're installing? And you're like, oh my god, I don't care about this. I would want like a really loud, like a horse sound.
Like yes!
Like a neigh or something like that, you know? I don't know why. It would sound good. Like, someone rings your door and it's like,
they'd be like, what the heck was that?
Yes. But then the devoted people would remain at the door because they're like, well, I really want to talk to this person. And then the package delivery people might just leave the package and skedaddle because, like, is there a horse in there or what? But I don't know. I like the sound of horse neighs. I don't really like horses that much, but the neigh is amusing to me. So, yeah, I would go with the neigh. I don't know why, but there you go. Do you want to get into trivia now?
Yeah, I'm ready for trivia if you guys are.
So, trivia this week is special because I'm not answering the trivia. Bats provided the trivia, but our special guest Gio is going to partake in the trivia. And if you get all three of them right, you're going to get a very special prize.
No pressure.
Asterisk.
I'm not going to tell you. I'm not going to tell you what it is, but it's special.
You guys have lifelines, right? Can you
we do.
Be one of my lifelines then?
Yes. So that's right. What the next thing I was going to say. So I'm going to tell you a bunch of lifelines. You're going to be able to pick one of them, and one of them can be ask one of us. You can't ask Bats because he's the trivia.
Right.
So you can ask me. I can be your life. I can be one of your lifelines. But we're going to give you three lifelines. So you could use a lifeline per question if you wanted to. And we're using the honor system here.
Of course.
So your lifelines are, if you need explanation on what they mean, that's fine too.
Okay.
Your lifelines are 5-second Google, 10-second Bing, 30-second Yahoo, 50-50, which is just like Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, kill two answers. Monty Hall, which is like 50-50, but a little different.
Mm-hmm.
Phone a friend, which is just text someone or, I don't know, what we'll say that's...
Phone a friend is ask you.
Phone
I'll
me.
Ask you for phone a friend.
Ask me. Skype me. And then rhyme time, which is Bats has to make a bad rhyme about the thing, and it'll probably give it away immediately.
Right. So I'm not going to pick rhyme time because that one has historically been way too easy.
That's good. So you're supposed to do no. Okay, that's no, fine. No, no. You want to?
I'll pick Monty Hall because that's already pretty cheating.
That's true.
So I'll pick Monty Hall. I'll pick phone a friend, and I'll do 10-second Bing.
Nice.
That's good. Good. I like 10-second Bing. It's good middle ground. I feel like between
that's exactly
the search engines. 30-second Yahoo's can get a little dicey sometimes. Not gonna lie.
I mean, while Yahoo searches are kind of not very good, 30 seconds is a long time.
You do have 30
time.
Seconds, though. Yeah. All right, what are the categories this week?
The categories are bird, video games, and Australia.
I expected no different.
Yes. So the first question is going to be bird-related.
Okay.
Which one of these is not a name for a group of ducks? Is it a rookery, B, a team, C, a raft, or D, a paddling? So one of these is not a name for a duck, a group of ducks.
So I'm gonna, I like, what is it, a raft?
A rookery. Go over them again.
A rookery, B a team, C a raft, or D a paddling.
So raft and paddling. I want to say those are definitely four ducks. I mean, I know zero of these, but those sound duck-like.
Duck-like. Yeah.
I don't know. They all sound pretty ducky.
Can I just say
sounds owly?
Rookery, I guess. Rookery.
Sounds owly. Rookery. But I'd be a fool to not use one of my lifelines. So. I'm going to do the 10-second Bing for that. So how does that work? I open up a tab, and then you guys start, and then I type bing.com and go from
there. Basically. But you can type in bing.com to your browser. Okay. You just don't hit enter yet. Okay. And then basically the time starts when you hit enter, and you go to Bing. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yep. So just what were the four options again?
So the question is, which one of these is not a name for a group of ducks? And the options are a rookery, a team, a raft, and a paddling.
I'm starting regret the Bing now because I'm going to have to narrow it down. Okay.
Do you want to un-Bing?
No. I'll do it. I'm going to see if
I just want to say that these are all very good duck names.
They
all sound very silly.
I don't know.
Something about... I feel like people who name birds must be like the weirdest people in the world.
Yeah, bird people are weird.
These weird names for everything. Okay, I think I have the timer ready. Oh, hold on, I have to save it. I hate this stupid timer. Okay, the timer is ready. Are you ready to Bing?
Yes, I am.
All right, 3, 2, 1, and Bing.
Okay. Group of ducks. Oh, no.
5 seconds.
Oh, no.
4, 3, 2, 1, and time.
I got 0 of them.
Now, you can leave the page open to exactly where it is and look at it.
Just don't click.
Don't click on anything.
Oh, I got it. The answer is A, rookery.
A, rookery is correct. Congratulations.
Wow. How did you get that?
Well, because... I just noticed the sentence at the very last second where it says they are more often referred to as a raft, a team, or a paddling while the group is on water.
Yes.
Wow, really?
Yep. So, wow. Got it.
Duck team.
A rookery, I think, is the name for a group of albatrosses.
Albatrosses.
I'm not making that up.
I don't even know what a rookery is. Oh, a rookery is a colony of breeding animals. Weird.
So that was my backup strategy was to look up rookery, but...
Oh, because you thought that was the one that's not it or something?
Yeah, that was my backup. But I figured, let me just see group of ducks, and that was
the backup strat.
Yeah, backup strat.
So, the second question is going to be about video games.
Okay. I feel confident.
I feel like you're pretty good at video games.
I think I am.
We'll see.
So, the question is... Naoto Oshima, designer of Sonic the Hedgehog, originally designed Sonic as all of the following animals except for... So all of these... There's original concept art as Sonic for all of these animals except for one.
Oh, jeez.
I love this question already.
A, an armadillo. B, an overalls-wearing chicken. C, a squirrel. Or D, a rabbit.
Ooh.
One of those was not an original concept for Sonic the Hedgehog.
Oh, man.
I feel like overalls wearing chicken is very specific.
Yeah, that's my concern, but maybe it was.
A, armadillo. B, overalls wearing chicken. C, squirrel. Or D, rabbit.
You have 2 lifelines left.
It's which one was not designed?
Yes, Sonic could have been any of these except for one.
So he drew Sonic as these things, but not one of them. I can see Sonic as all of those things.
I can. Well, there's a rabbit in the cartoon show, right? I think there's also a rabbit in the games. And then there's the chicken is one of the bad guys. I don't know if there's an armadillo friend. I mean, that doesn't help what Sonic was designed as. I'm just thinking, like, maybe I can think about what animals he considered. Huh. All right, I think I have a strategy for this one. Let's do Monty Hall, and I'm going to pick Rabbit.
So you're locking in Rabbit, and I'll remove 2?
Correct.
So the answer is either C, a squirrel, or D, a rabbit.
Man, I was really hoping you were going to say the chicken, so that's what I was going to guess. Oh, man. It's either a squirrel. I'm going to go squirrel. I don't think he would design a squirrel. I think rabbit is a much easier thing to design. So I'm going to say squirrel, final answer.
See, squirrel is correct.
Woohoo! Yeah, nice. So Sonic could have been a rabbit. I could see, like, squirrel is kind of the off one. Well, actually, chicken with the overalls is really the off one, but...
Yeah, an armadillo, just, though?
I mean, I can kind of see that. And the hedgehog both, like, curl up into balls, right?
That's true, so. Yeah.
How was Sonic almost a chicken in overalls?
I don't know. I saw the picture, though, and it looks kind of funny.
You did? Is there really a picture of that?
It's not a good picture, but yeah.
Sonic, chicken... in overalls. I'm just gonna get like Sonic the
Yeah, you'll never Sonic find
the food. No, I got Sonic chicken sandwich when I put that in. God damn it. Why does there have to be a fast food restaurant called Sonic? This happened to me last week when we did Sonic trivia. I typed in Sonic something and I got the food menu for Sonic Drive-In. Anyway, I'll have to research that later.
Okay, final question is about Australia. Of course. And the question is, former Prime Minister of Australia, Bob Hawke, set a world record doing what that he later suggested was the reason for his political success? Is it A, eating shrimp, B, chugging beer, C, surfing, or D, jumping ATVs over sand dunes?
Oh, man.
So...
A sounds way too cliche.
Can you go through all of those again? I just want to live them again in my head.
Really so former Prime Minister of Australia, that's my favorite part of this question, Bob Hawke set a world record doing what he doing one of these that he later considered the reason for his political success.
Mm-hmm.
Is it A, eating shrimp, B, chugging beer, C, surfing, or D, jumping ATVs over sand dunes?
I hope it's eating shrimp. I really do.
Right? Well, oh,
shrimp on the bobby. he has like a cookout every year in Australia where he like cooks shrimp or whatever.
Well, I'm gonna count this as my phone a friend right now, and I'm liking that line of logic because you know the cookout he would invite all of his friends, his political buddies.
Yeah, exactly.
And maybe,
he's like, you want to, yeah.
And maybe they helped him out, but
they
by
like his shrimp
contest,
a lot.
Yeah.
So he has a record for this?
He has a world record for this.
I don't understand how eating shrimp is a world record, though.
I'm
That's
sure
where I'm kind
like
of loose.
How much shrimp you can eat in 10 minutes or something.
It's just really funny to think that the Prime Minister of Australia has the world record for eating shrimp.
Yeah, I feel like the world record for beer probably doesn't belong to Australia. Maybe like Ireland or something.
And I doubt it's the president of Australia, too. Like I feel like that would be a bad look for a politician.
Maybe he did it in college, and that's how he got all his college buddies.
And it stuck. And he's like, you're going to be the prime minister one day, friend.
Oh, man.
What's his name? Bob Hawke?
Bob Hawke.
I like that name, too.
Yeah.
Okay, so jumping ATVs, and what was the other one?
Surfing.
So you're using me as a lifeline, right? Gio, are you using me as your lifeline officially?
Yeah.
Here?
Okay. So what is your answer?
I don't think it's beer. I just think that's too cliche. And then the other was jumping ATVs and surfing. While I think surfing is cliche... a lot of people in Australia do it, and I can see that being more.
But he credited the activity as helping in his political career, and I'm failing to connect how surfing would help his political career.
Yeah, you're right about that.
Like,
I don't know how
ATV. I could see parties at college and like he met his college buddies.
Shrimp thing, I could see kind of cookout ish. ATVs wouldn't help your career either, though.
I mean, how badass would it be to have a prime minister, though, that did those amazing physical activities? Like,
that's true.
That'd be cool.
Kind of like how the Russian propaganda has, like, Putin riding bears and stuff like
that.
I think my answer is shrimp because it's really funny to imagine that. And that might not be the best course of reasoning, but there you go. I would say either shrimp or surfing. Those are my two
thoughts. Shrimp or surfing. Hey, you got to pick. Pick for me.
Hey, you don't have to. You don't have to use my.
But you're my lifeline, so you have to give me one answer. And what is it?
Okay, my answer is shrimp. But you don't have to use it. If you don't feel confident with shrimp, it's okay. But my answer is shrimp.
I like shrimp. I'm gonna go with shrimp, and let it be known that if I did not get all three, it's your fault. So we're going with shrimp.
Thank you for that.
A shrimp is incorrect.
Oh!
The correct answer is B, chugging beer.
No way! Are you serious?
The Prime Minister of Australia has the world record for chugging 2.5 liters of beer.
Like, currently still has it?
That is as far as I know.
Wow.
How did that help his political career?
What a guy.
Yeah, I want to know the story behind that. How did that... Wow.
Australia is the best place on earth.
Clearly.
Was it a Foster's? Was it a Foster's Australian for beer?
I think that's like their Lone Star.
Yeah. That's funny. Oh, man. I kind of want to meet this guy now. He sounds right? like a cool guy. Yeah. I hope his second in command has the shrimp eating one. Like, that was their platform. Like, extreme food challenges. Like, we have that on lock or whatever.
Apparently, he did this on national TV and everything. Like,
he chugged the beer?
Like, I think he was the prime minister when he did this.
Just imagine if, like, one of our politicians did that.
I mean, it's the equivalent of Trump doing it, isn't it? Like,
if Trump did it, that would be bad looking.
Yeah.
I mean, it's... He wouldn't be able to get away with that. Not that he should, but yeah. I don't know.
It's none of our politicians. Though.
None of our politicians could do that on air. None of our politicians could chug beer and then like, be like, "Oh, that's great, awesome, good job."
Yeah, like Obama had a period where it showed him drinking, you know, a beer with you know the average man.
But that was like, he's connecting with the people kind of thing.
He wasn't just like
no, he wasn't chugging.
He wasn't getting a world record for that.
I feel like we need something in America where our president can like be something. Our president needs an extreme food challenge they can do too to like
the further
prove
we can get away from idiocracy being real, the better.
No, what is the American food challenge? I'm trying to think. Maybe eating hot wings at Buffalo Wild Wings.
The Nathan's hot dog challenge, right?
Like, oh yeah, and the Nathan's hot dogs. Yeah, and they have to do the whole dip it in the water thing.
Oh,
the gross part. We put it on TV or whatever. It'll come right after the State of the Union. It's like right afterwards. They do the State of the Union, and then they're like the presidential Nathan's hot dog challenge.
State
and
of
it's
the
president.
Union. Brought to you by Nathan's hot dogs.
It's the president. It's everyone in his cabinet. They all do the challenge at the same time. And the winner is us, the American people who get to watch that on TV. That was fantastic trivia question. I need to research the guy from Australia, the prime minister. Okay, do we have any final thoughts before we sign off the show? Any final questions or thoughts or anything at all? Anything you want to say?
Did you have one to end on? We usually do.
Do I have one to end on?
Yeah.
Sure, I can find a stupid one. What is the... this one's really bad for awkward people like me. What are some good conversation starters to help break the silence? And what I mean by good, I mean like absolutely worst things you can say to be awkward to people. What's like the most awkward you've been when you're trying to start a conversation? Like you said something, and you're like, "Well, I should probably not have said that."
I feel like this happens to me a lot.
You can always go with like, "How's the weather?" Or if you're in Buffalo Wild Wings, you can be like, "How? What about those Knicks? How about the Knicks? You know? Did you play the latest Call of Duty?" I don't know. That's what I got.
I'm so bad at this. I'm coming up dry. I'm not very good at starting conversations.
I mean, that's exactly my problem. And rather than saying the wrong thing, it's literally nothing comes to my mind.
Yeah, just sit in silence.
I just choke, and it's silent, and they're expecting an answer, and I have nothing.
Or you just walk up, and you say hi, like, silently, and you, like, raise your hand. and then just stand there, and then then you're like, well,
yep.
And then you expect them to like ask you about the weather or something, and then nothing happens, and then they walk away because they're a normal person, and you're like awkward. And that was what just happened to me yesterday. No, I'm just kidding. But that happens to me all the time. Okay, this this has been episode number 30 of the Time Bat Show. Our special guest today was Gio. Say goodbye to everyone, Gio.
Goodbye, everyone. Thanks for having me on the show. It was great.
Absolutely. It's been a lot of fun. We might have you on again because you're such a good guest. I've been Time Aces.
And I'm Bat Snacks.
And that's been Gio. Good night, everyone.
Have a good night. See you later.
Bye.